Ready?
I was born ready.
I can honestly say that's the best news I've heard all day.
Joe Torti Show.
Kind of reminded me of a dark, gothic Neil Diamond.
That's like exactly what I'm going for.
This is the Joe Torti Show.
What show are you listening to?
Joe Torti Show.
I'm trying to be patient, but you're making it incredibly difficult.
I can say big loud things. I can be dramatic to tip.
Can we just end this already?
Now it's time. The Joe Torti Show.
Yes, it is. What's going on, quarantine people? Joe Torti here with you, 97.5. The Fanatic, Tyler Zuli, is producing. Happy non-opening day. Man, oh man. You know, this is a day that even if you're not a big baseball fan, and I know that there are tons of massive baseball fans in this city, but even if you're not one of those, opening day is still one of those sports days every single year where you're a baseball fan for once. You know, kind of like how everybody's Irish on St. Patrick's Day. It's the same thing. Everybody gets into baseball at least for one day. And then, you know, maybe you check back in October or whatever you want to do. But at this point, I don't know if it's becoming, I don't want to say real, because it's been real for a lot of people. It's been real for a long time since quarantine and social distancing and sports being canceled became our norm at this point. No, instead, this is just kind of another, you know, knockdown of what we came to think of normal, or at least came to think was normal in years past. Phillies are still behaving as normal, right? Nick Williams, Austin Davis, Edgar Garcia, Kyle Garlick, Cole Irvin, Reggie McClain got optioned to AAA today. You know, so still doing the same kind of stuff that they would be doing besides playing baseball. And I have to admit, I know you're not supposed to go to the gym. So I was practicing social distancing and doing my workout outside, well away from everyone else. And as I was cursing the fact that I just hate running so much, I was thinking about how nice it would be and how great of a day it would have been for opening day across the Eastern Seaboard here. And there are so many traditions and so many things that you would do with whoever it is. If it's your dad or your mom or your grandparents or your kids or whoever it is. Traditions that get interrupted by the likes of this. And it's a shame and it's a bummer. And I don't always go to every opening day. I try to go to as many home openers in particular as I can. But I'm usually not traveling for opening day or anything like that. But if you're a little down today, you know, we're all kind of down when it comes to having to stay inside, not being able to go to work, having all the uncertainty there and all that. If you're down there, this is, of course, an open forum for you. So I'd be curious to, you know, hear whoever wants to share. There's no pressure. If you have thoughts on what you'd be doing for opening day, if there's something that you do every single year that got interrupted by this, feel free to call in, share it with the people. And I know it's not the exact same as getting to do it with your family, and it's not the exact same as getting to go through all of the excitement, the emotions, the butterflies, the jitters that you get for opening day. But it's something, and of course, it is here for you. It is on the table. And your phone number to join that conversation is 610-632-0975. Now, Tyler, you're a big baseball guy. Very fortunate to be able to discuss this with you, because baseball, if it's not your top sport, it is one of your top two for sure. When you look at this opening day and it comes and goes with no baseball, what are your emotions as you're watching things here?
Yeah, it's kind of weird because baseball is my number one sport. It always has been. It's the sport that I feel that I'm not only the most passionate about, but probably the most knowledgeable about as well. As a baseball guy, I don't feel all that emotional about not having baseball today. I think for a couple of reasons. The first being, I am more worked up about not having the NBA and the NHL because they were the carpet that was pulled out from underneath us. They were the sports that we had that we no longer have. And secondly, I think baseball should have a shorter season than what it does anyway. So I'm a big believer in, after opening day, baseball doesn't mean much for many, many people in April and maybe parts of May. Baseball doesn't mean anything until the NBA is over for their team, the NHL is over for their team, the NCAA tournament's over for their team, maybe the NFL draft is over for their team. Baseball's so subsidiary to all of those other things. I don't feel like not having baseball today is that big of a deal because I think the season should start later anyway.
So I agree on a lot of levels, and probably chief among them is that this whole thing and the cancellation of sports has really hit at my favorite time on the sports calendar. March Madness is probably, March Madness is definitely the sports time that I look forward to the most. You know, conference tournaments, and then obviously the NCAA tournament. Hockey, you've got the playoff contenders and really the Stanley Cup contenders jockeying for position, and the Flyers were solidly among those this year. NBA, you're really seeing them get down to the home stretch where you are trying to figure out which teams are going to be for real in the playoffs and which aren't. And Jim Nantz has the best week of any broadcaster, period, going from calling the Final Four to the Masters. Pretty impressive. And then you add in the fact that there's also the Olympics to be considering on the horizon. Was shaping up to be a pretty awesome spring and summer in the sports landscape. So I guess opening day, while being cool, doesn't really measure up for me in terms of baseball. I'm much more interested in baseball in October and the playoff races and the wild card and everything else. Like, that holds more weight for me for sure. But I don't know if it's because of everything else. Yeah, I don't know if it's because everything else got canceled or we were in the middle of hockey where the Flyers were playing really well and we were waiting to see if the Sixers were going to rebound and ultimately meet their potential that we hoped that they could achieve at the beginning of the season. March Madness, Villanova, and there were a lot of teams locally that had an interest in March Madness. Like there were a ton of different ways that the last several weeks could have gone. And now that obviously gets robbed from us and it's taken away and we're all at our homes, you know, sitting around, just waiting for the end of this thing. And there's no clear indication as to when that's going to be. So another sports milestone gets pushed back. The Olympics get pushed back. Opening day, obviously, there's nothing going on in Major League Baseball. But there's this hashtag trending opening day at home, which is, you know, fans celebrating opening day and sharing it with their teams from the comfort and safety of their own homes. It's better than nothing. And you do see the spirit of baseball fans here as they're kind of sharing it amongst each other and getting into the baseball season spirit. Even though, like Tyler said, it's tough to do because you don't really consider it to be baseball season until almost after the draft and after the NHL and the NBA kind of wrap up. So I totally understand that perspective. So I guess, Tyler, without putting words in your mouth, the thing is you're looking at it like baseball is just getting shifted back. And if it's not, then there should be fewer games anyway, so it doesn't
matter. Correct. And I, you know, this is coming from a person that will and has sit down, you know, get home from a show, you know, 10 o'clock show. We get done, we get off the air. I would sit down and watch the 6th, 7th, 8th innings of the Rockies and Diamondbacks. The two teams I have no interest in, but baseball to me is my sport. It's my favorite sport. But the priority, even at this time, after opening day settles down, the priority is still the gear up of the NHL and NBA playoffs.
And that was something that at least both of the Philadelphia teams, the Sixers and Flyers, are both in playoff position. Obviously, the Flyers in a little bit better shape than the Sixers were. But still waiting and seeing how that could have played out. That would have been, I mean, you look at the postseason versus the beginning of the season, there's no comparison. That would have been way more interesting than the start of baseball season. 6 o'clock hour on the Fanatic is brought to you by Family and Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's diamond destination. Let's get to the phones. Dave in Center City leads things off on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Dave?
Jordy, how are you?
Doing great. How are you?
We all know who the A team is, and that includes South Tunis, and that is why 97.5 exists. But let me tell you about the A-minus team, and that is Jordy, Givens, and Zuli.
Oh, man.
Bravo to you guys.
High praise. Thank you, Dave.
But I need your expertise. As I said to Devon and Tyler yesterday, me and my buddy Mike Quiggs from ESPN, Dream Team, runner-up, that's all we've been doing is handing out face masks, gloves, and protective eyewear to no less than 12 hospitals.
Oh, man.
But I have, And anybody in the allied health field, I can't thank you enough for what you're doing. They're bringing first-year medical students out to help with this virus. But Torty, I've fallen behind on the four major sports, and this is where you come in. Is there even a rough draft yet? When the NBA, NHL are going to return? When's baseball start? When's football start? Fill me in on this. What do you know?
Okay, so I know nothing, but I will give you my best educated guesses for each of those. Is that fair?
Thank you.
Okay, so I would anticipate that nothing will change with the NFL season. I would anticipate that the NFL will be here on time, period.
Meaning Hall of Fame game August 1st and business as usual.
Yes, that is my anticipation for the NFL. I would anticipate that we are not going to see a resumption of the NBA for this season. I would think that it's going to be just too much to make up, and you're going to see the NBA kind of like wash out the second half of the season. I hope that that's not true. That's what I anticipate.
So there's no playoffs.
No playoffs.
Resumption.
I don't think
okay.
so. In the NHL, I think that it goes the other way. I think that the NHL, because you're so close to the end of the season, there's more momentum gathering for in a couple of, maybe a month and a half, to think about putting in a resume just as you are and start the playoffs right now kind of situation. I think that there are people open to that.
What's the date on the calendar for that?
So let's see. If it is the 26th right now of March, I would anticipate that this could be a thing by mid-May. You know, in week of the 10th, 11th, something like that.
Good. Because most of those series go seven games anyway, and yada, yada. What's baseball look like, Torty?
So baseball, if I had to get, and once again, I can't not stress this enough. These are all my guesses. I would anticipate that baseball will probably start up in the beginning of June. Like that first week of June, they'll try to get some things going on with the opening week.
So we lose a smattering of games in April because it's not a full schedule. May is full schedule. So, in 94 when they canceled the World Series, 40, I boycotted baseball for 3 years.
Wow.
You don't cancel a World Series.
So would you feel the same way if the NBA did not return to their season and have the finals?
No, because the NBA, the MLB World Series was canceled because of belligerence and greed. And
sure.
That's what, NBA, unfortunately, we're at the mercy of what's going on right now. So all these records don't, the Sixers 29-2 don't mean a bag of beans at home, do they?
Yeah, it's a bummer, isn't it, Dave? Hey, thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. Appreciate all the good work that you're doing as well. That's just my guess as to when things could start. Tyler, do you think that any of that is reasonable, or is that overly optimistic?
The only one that I think that to me is optimistic, and they don't they believe as you do. I think it's baseball. I don't know if baseball gets started by May.
Okay.
I think it's probably closer to June.
Well, I thought the first week in June for baseball.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said May.
May was for hockey.
Oh, my apologies. Then, yeah, you're okay.
All right. I'm all right.
Yeah, I mix those two up. Then, yeah, I think you're pretty much spot on there. I mean, barring anything crazy happening.
Do you think that the NBA will not come back?
I believe the NBA will play its playoffs.
You think that they will? Okay,
I do.
So kind of the same thing that I said for hockey.
Yes, I don't think the NBA is going to play another regular season game.
Okay.
Because there was only, I think there was only two or three playoff spots that were still up for grabs.
Yeah.
I believe it was the 2-8 seeds and then the 7 seed in the East.
I think that still had
a chance.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you've got 6 locked in teams in the East and up to 7 in the West. That's just off the top of my head. I'll go and do the double check for you. That's enough to me to say that, yes, these are the playoff teams.
Now, the problem is in the NHL, there's a lot more fluidity, obviously, because there are just a lot more teams that are bunched up, especially in the Eastern Conference. There are playoff spots up for grabs. But I think in order to make something happen, that's going to kind of be the begrudging solution to this is, yeah, it sucks that there are some teams that are right on the outside of the wild card that you had a chance that might not get in there. But in order to save things, you can't play out the last whatever games of the season. You just start with the playoffs and just let the chips fall where they may. It's not a good situation, but I think that when you look at everything that's gone on, obviously extreme measures are kind of called for. And the strange is quickly becoming the standard when it comes to this kind of stuff. Do you agree with me that the NFL will be entirely unaffected by this?
The NFL is not going to change a thing.
I agree.
Because the NFL is too stubborn to change a thing. So again, unless something unforeseen and crazy happens, it's not out of the realm of possibility, but something out of the strange, I guess you would say, the NFL is going to start on time.
I kind of think so too. So, I mean, that's my guess, but who knows? When it comes to this virus and this situation, the way that it's handled and the curves and the projections and everything else, literally the information changes by the hour. So, you know, people are saying it's projected to do this, and then the projections change, and then it looks closer to the first projection. Like, there's no way of accurately predicting this. Because realistically, over the course of months, that is far too small of a data sample size to be able to get anything good or predictive about it. You know that the flu is going to come back every single year. You've had years and years to study whether or not the flu is going to come back every year, and it does. It comes back every single year. You don't have nearly that track record to look at when it comes to COVID-19 to figure out what's going to happen. 610-632-0975, your phone number to join the conversation. You can reach out on Twitter as well, at Joe Torti, at 97.5, The Fanatic. Let me ask you something. If it meant getting back into it, and obviously understanding there are lots of logistical things that you would have to work through. Like, first and foremost, you'd have to ensure that players either have already had it or don't have it right now, are testing negative for coronavirus. And they'd have to go into mega, super, uber quarantine. I wonder if that's the first step, is to get some games being played with everybody being in full-on lockdown except for their sport, their practice, whatever it is, right? And exercising the extreme caution of social distancing and washing their hands and doing stuff like that. But if you're not getting it passed around in the leagues, I think that that's a step. Then after that, would you be open to some kind of lottery system when it comes to fans getting in? Would you be open to some kind of, yeah, obviously every fan has to keep 6 feet away from every other fan, and you don't want people who are sick coming to these games? Like, would you be open to something like that? Or do you think the people can't be trusted? Personally speaking, based on what I've seen in America, we cannot be trusted to do what's best for each other.
No, I wouldn't put a single fan on.
I don't think so either. Honestly,
for the remainder of 2020, if that's the case, do it. The last thing we need is this thing coming back.
It's just too little info. Like,
exactly.
There are people that say that, like, if you get it, you can't get it again. It might be true, but I don't know.
They're also saying that there's people that have an immunity to it, and you can donate plasma. So if that's the case, we've got something good going on.
I believe there's probably lots going on, but I don't know. Who knows is the most appropriate response to this whole thing. It's just there's no really good way to project, you know, what the path of this is and what the resumption path is.
Well, when you play Who Knows, you can't take anything for granted.
No.
Which is why there should be no fans at any game for the next... this is going to sound crazy. If they play in 3 months, just assume, like, we'll make a number, double that. That's when the fans can come back.
So, June, July, August, September, yeah, would be when fans could return?
Yeah, I mean, the NFL may be the one to be able to fully go at it.
Man, I would anticipate that they would. It wouldn't be a big deal for the NFL to not have fans at preseason games because, I mean, I would assume that preseason games don't draw as well as regular season games. I don't have
stats backing that up, but they cost the same. Not the same, but they cost it, they're involved in your season ticket package.
Right. Yes. So getting that together by September, possibly. I could not imagine an NHL playoff series happening without fans. I could not imagine an NBA playoff series happening without fans. Although, I guess, you know what? March Madness, the NCAA tournament was open to it before shutting everything down as they got more information. I don't know. The question of when they will return is a fascinating thing. 610-632-0975 is your phone number. Top aboard the conversation. Also reach out on Twitter at Joe Torti at 97.5 The Fanatic. Derek, we're going to lead you off. I want to make sure that you get your full time. It is the Joe Torti Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Tyler Zuli hanging out as well as we take you up until 10 o'clock out on the heels of the Mike Missanelli Show. We've got some top five lists that we were coming up with and going over during the pre-show meetings and stuff. We'll share those with you in just a little while here. But first, let's get to Derek in the Northeast on 97.5. What's going on, Derek?
Yeah, hey, guys. I got a couple things for you. It's good to talk to you.
Likewise, man. Great to talk to you, too.
I think one issue that we'll never have to hear about anytime soon is load management for NBA players. They're getting all the load management they need right now.
Yeah, it's the truth. I mean, you're seeing, and not only that, you're thinking about guys like Ben Simmons and some of these other guys who potentially, if there is a playoff or there is a resumption of the season, you're seeing them come back from their injuries as well.
Well, yeah, that's true. And some of the guys on the Phillies who now were thought to be not prepared for opening day, which would have been today, will now probably all be available, I would hope.
Yeah, I would think so, too.
Yeah, I just noticed that with this insidious issue going on in the world, load management is like totally off everyone's radar. Remember how big of a thing that was, though?
Oh, it's huge, of course.
I had a question about the draft. It's, you know, been a topic on almost all the shows here on the Fanatic lately. It's coming up. Still looks like it's going to be held April 23 to 25. Last two seasons, the Eagles only had five draft picks each, I believe. They're down to 8 right now after the Darius Slay trade. Are you comfortable with them losing more picks in order to move up? Or do you want to see them stay at 8 right now, and you think that's really the best procedure?
Well, I mean, it's going to sound like a total cop-out, Derek, but it really does depend on which way the board kind of breaks. Like, if there's a player that I think could help out the Eagles a lot, like, for example, the guy that I've pointed to that could slide for no reason is C.D. Lamb. Like, and if he slides for any reason and he's down in, like, the 13, 14, 15 range, he's a guy that I think could help out the Eagles tremendously. Same thing with Jerry Jeudy. Like, I think that that's something that I would be comfortable with. But if the draft kind of goes chalk and you're seeing a lot of like receivers go in the top 10, I don't know. I don't know how comfortable I am with that. I think that I'd rather maximize the opportunity that you have to dip into the wide receiver pool, for example. If you're not going to get one of those top three or four guys, taking two or three in rounds 2 through 5 makes me a little bit more comfortable that you're going to find a playmaker.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we're set up pretty good with that high second-round pick as well. I believe it's number 53.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a lot of times after the fact we've heard, oh, they only had 4 or 5 draft picks. Last year they wasted one on Clayton Thorson, the year prior as well. They really haven't had a lot of draft picks. I remember 2012 they had about 10.
Right.
And it may be one since then.
Well, Derek, there's definitely two ways to look at it, right? It's should they trade draft picks in order to hone in on the guy that they really, really want, or does it, like, not matter either way because they're bad at picking, so it doesn't matter how many draft picks they have. If you don't believe in Howie Roseman's ability to evaluate or pick players, then it almost doesn't matter if they have 8 or 10 or 12 or however many.
Well, we know in 2016 it was done in an effort to acquire Carson Wentz,
right,
and that was necessary. So if it's just a viable situation, and it's too early now to know, but I'm concerned that he could blow some of the opportunities we have to replenish what we've got by moving up, perhaps, and it's perhaps the wrong move. I mean, I don't know. But regardless, we've only used the number one overall pick in recent memory on a wide receiver twice, 2001 Freddie Mitchell and 2000. What was it? The year Nelson Aguilar.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So they don't really do that with wide receivers that often. Maybe they're not going to again, or this is the year that they think they have to. But I want them to make sure they get, like, the right guy.
Well, yeah, and Derek, that's, you hit on it exactly, the right guy. Thanks for the phone call. And, yeah, Jeremy Maclin, first round pick as well. Tyler, you're a big draft Nick. I think that there are wide receivers that are worth trading up for and wide receivers that are not. Like, I,
correct.
I think there are two. Do you agree?
There's only two
that,
yes,
are worth. So if Jeudy and Lamb, either one of them slide, I would say that those are guys that are worth trading up for.
Would agree. Yes.
I would say Ruggs is worth a small trade up. If you have to get from 21 to 18 or something like that, then I could live with that. And Jefferson, Mims, these kind of guys are, if they're around at 21, awesome. If not, you know, go ahead and do something else.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And here's the thing. Ruggs in particular, I believe that Ruggs will be the first receiver off the board. I've been saying that for a couple of weeks now.
Okay.
If he is there, though, at 17, or I guess it would have to be, yeah, 17. Because I believe the Cowboys pick at 18.
Okay.
I think that's the case. Or it's 16, 17, one of the two. If you have to jump over the Cowboys to do it, much like what you've talked about on Tuesday, your price goes up.
Yeah.
Because the team that's sitting there taking the trade is going, we know what you're trying to do. We know you're trying to jump the Cowboys.
Right.
Price goes up. It's going to be very difficult to trade up for a wide receiver.
So Atlanta's at 16.
So the Cowboys are at 17.
Yes.
Okay, then that's what it is.
Don't rule out the Falcons taking a wide receiver at 16, because Julio Jones is coming down to the end of that rope as well, not in terms of his ability, but how long do they want to keep him around as a Falcon?
Every single mock draft I've seen, they have them taking one of two players, and it's either AJ Epenesa, uh-huh, or Javon Kinlaw.
Okay.
That means they're taking neither. It wouldn't surprise me if it was a receiver.
15, Denver Broncos.
Well, oh, receiver for sure.
Never. never put them out of the wide receiver business, ever. They love themselves some wide receivers. 13, San Francisco, almost certainly taking a wide receiver. There are a lot of, like, that's what I mean. So if somehow, like, for example, if Judy is on the board or Lamb is on the board, either one, and they make it past 13, you try to get to 14 because Tampa doesn't need a wide receiver.
Correct.
Like, that's the spot. You try to get to Tampa, and that's how you make it happen. But you're not going to trade at 15. You're not going to trade at 16. You're not going to trade at 17. And then by the time you might be in business with the Miami Dolphins at 18, but the damage could have already been done. And it's not worth the trade up at that point, if that makes sense. Now, naturally, it's a prediction made about the NFL draft, so you can set your watch by it that none of that stuff's going to happen. But that's as clearly as I could see it. I don't know what the Chargers are going to do. And to me, that really does matter. I don't know whether the Chargers are going to draft a quarterback or not. I don't think that Justin Herbert is a top six quarterback. There are people that are saying that Tua is going to absolutely go in the top five. If that happens, that is very good for the Eagles. You obviously want Herbert off the board. You want as many quarterbacks taken as you can. Like, for I don't think that this is going to happen, but you want as many tight ends as you can to come off the board. Things that the Eagles already have. But, like, I'm looking at number seven, the Carolina Panthers, who, yes, did just sign Robbie Anderson. But what if they were to draft a wide receiver at seven? That could start a trouble run for the Eagles. If, and as we were talking about on Tuesday, if the Eagles are telegraphing that they're going to take a wide receiver with their first selection, that makes it a little bit more difficult. I could see the Chargers, if they are not committed to taking Herbert, or if Tua goes before that, I could see the Chargers taking a wide receiver. I could see the Panthers taking a wide receiver, and Ruggs could be a fit in either of those places. In Carolina, because it seems like they're committed to accumulating weapons and speed is important, they just signed Robbie Anderson, so they might not see just their one speed guy being, you know, enough, along with Christian McCaffrey and everything else, right? They might look there. And the Chargers, to my knowledge, don't have somebody with Ruggs' kind of speed anyway. Not to say that there are a ton of those guys in the NFL to begin with. I'm just saying, not every team's going to take a wide receiver. But I think that there's a possibility for any of those teams to take. I can talk myself into it. Dan Baxter tweets in, between Julio, Calvin Ridley, and trading for her, signing Gurley and Treadwell, I really can't see them drafting a receiver. Good points about spending resources on offense. I don't think Treadwell is going to keep them from exploring wide receivers. I would say that it seems like they're committed to shoring up offensively as much as they can. The Falcons have been a team that has, in my experience, and maybe this is just anecdotal and it seems like it's, you know, a confirmation bias. It seems like the Falcons take turns trying to address needs. They'll spend like an offseason where all of their resources and draft picks and stuff like that go to defense, and then they'll flip it and it'll go to offense. Maybe that's not the case, and Dan, maybe that'll stop them from taking a wide receiver. But if you're taking the best player available and you're trying to wring whatever you can out of Matt Ryan's final twilight years as a serviceable NFL quarterback, then I don't know. They've gone with the embarrassment of riches route before with Calvin Ridley. I think Roddy White was still on that team when they drafted Calvin Ridley.
Well, and the thing with that particular Falcons team is they have clearly put an emphasis on the phrase that you like to use, is building the car before finding the driver.
Mm-hmm.
They've put first-round picks into offensive line two out of the last three seasons, and they still have a serviceable... You know I don't like Ryan, but he's still serviceable enough.
For sure.
And then they could go get their guy when he's done. By drafting the center and the guard in the first round over the last 3 years, that gives you an idea of where they're looking. They don't need offensive line.
No, they spent
They
that.
Clearly don't care about defense all that much.
610-632-0975. That's never been a priority for them. Let me see if I was way off on that with the Falcons depth chart. That's this year's. Come on, why is this so hard to find? First official depth chart of 2018. Got to find the wide receivers. Oh, Mohamed Sanu. Yeah, it wasn't Roddy White. It was Mohamed Sanu. But still, they had two starting wide receivers, and then still drafted Calvin Ridley in the first round. 610-632-0975, your phone number to join the conversation. We're going to get to Lance, and then we've got a couple of open phone lines. Grab those. 610-632-0975. It is the Joe Torty Show. 97.5, The Fanatic.
Joe Torty on 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Welcome back. Joe Torty Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. Tyler, you want to share that with the class? That's pretty funny.
So I'm watching in the studio here, they've got an old Giants and Diamondbacks game on, right? So Zach Greinke's pitching for the Diamondbacks. And I said to Joe right before the break ended, could you imagine being Zach Greinke and just like if you wanted to, being a top three pitcher in baseball stuff-wise and half the time just clearly looking like you'd rather be anywhere else on the planet? The guy looks like he has not a care in the world and actually doesn't like baseball.
But like, it's not a full-on one-to-one comparison because no one would ever say that, like, you know, top three about this guy. But it's like Jay Cutler. And, like, they're like, Jay, you want to play today? And he goes, and then he throws the ball, like, 80 yards on the fly because he's got a missile.
Well, it's always funny with Jay Cutler because he looked like he was just out there because he was good at football.
Right.
And then he would do his videos with his wife, you know, like the videos that they put together. He just looks like that's where he needs to be.
Right.
That is his element, and he just plays football because there was a check attached to it.
Yes. Why do you do this? I'm good at
money.
It. Yeah, I'm good at it, and they pay me a lot.
Why'd you open the second Krusty Krab? Money.
Money.
That's Jay Cutler.
Nicely done. 610-632-0975. Dan Baxter on Twitter pointing out reasons why the Chargers desperately need a quarterback, have Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, and Hunter Henry. Panthers need defense, have DJ Moore, just signed Robbie Anderson and Curtis Samuel. And the Falcons, Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, and signed Treadwell. Well, once again, Laquon Treadwell has never kept anybody off of any roster, ever. Like, even as a first-round pick wide receiver, totally has not panned out the way that any team that has had him on the roster hoped that he would. Maybe he'll turn it around in Atlanta. Who knows? That's not a deterrent, I don't think. The Chargers, like I said, I don't know what they're going to do. Maybe they take a quarterback, maybe they don't. I have no idea. The Panthers, I don't think anyone should feel safe, least of all Curtis Samuel on the Panthers, because Matt Rhule is in town. Matt Rhule has a boatload of money, and it seems like Matt Rhule has carte blanche to do literally anything that he wants to do. And it's a temple reunion down there at this point. So there are reports that Curtis Samuel might be on the trade block anyway, now that they've made that acquisition. It happens all the time, and it doesn't matter what the job is. If there's a new boss brings in their guys sometimes, and you know, you just have to kind of deal with it. So like I said, I'm not predicting that it's going to be a full-on wide receiver run. That's why when somebody called earlier and asked if they should trade up, said it depends on whether the right player slides. It's just very difficult to predict that at this point. Put it this way, right? Put yourself in Howie Roseman's shoes. If Howie says he doesn't know what the value is on DeAndre Hopkins, and I'm assuming that we have some Howie Roseman sound from his conference call. We might get to that a little bit later. But if he is saying that he didn't know that the trade was happening, didn't know what the valuation was on DeAndre Hopkins, and this trade was like trying to be put together for 3 months, there's no way to accurately predict what these teams are going to do in the draft. Just no way. You almost have to have a plan, stick to the plan, but be ready, willing, and able to kind of roll with it and be flexible. Adapt. Survive. Let's go to Lance in Arizona next on The Fanatic. What's up, Lance?
Hey, couple of things. You guys are talking about the Chargers.
Yes.
I watched them in that Cam Newton sweepstakes because they're moving into that new stadium.
Yep.
And they're going to want to go in there with a bang. And I don't believe that they want to go in there with Tyrod Taylor when they already don't have a fan base. So if they get Cam Newton, I think it puts a less emphasis on them going for a quarterback. Now, if they don't get Cam Newton, I think they're going to go quarterback just to have that pizzazz-type pick. Like, Herbert makes a ton of sense for them. He's a West Coast kid, and there's been rumors to them liking him, so it makes sense if that's what they were going to do. But I called more about to talk about the wide receiver, but good article to read since you get The Athletic for free for 90 days. Mm-hmm. It's a Sheil Kapadia article on Darius Slay. Is a really good article. You'd appreciate it. It goes into a lot of in-depth stuff.
Okay.
Really good article.
We'll definitely check that out for sure.
But with the wide receiver thing, I agree with you. I think it's going to be too hard to move up to get the guy you want. Just look in the top 15. Like, look from 10 to 15. The Jets are going to take a wide receiver. They have basically nothing besides their slot receiver and now Perryman, who's only on a one-year contract. The Niners should take a wide receiver because they only have Deebo Samuel right now.
Right.
And then you look at the Raiders, they're in there. And then there's another team I want to say that's in there that's going to. There's four teams that could take wide receivers that have a desperate need for them. They're going to wind up taking them. And when you get to 15 after that, if they fall, that's when you can make move up. But I don't think they're going to get past that. So you're better off at 21 trading back to like 28. Let's say one of those teams wants to move up to get a defensive end or somebody like a tackle falls. Then you trade back, or even a quarterback. Maybe New England says, Jordan Love fell to this point. We want to jump another team to get that quarterback. You do it. Pick up an extra third-round pick. Because if you look at this tier two wide receivers, Higgins, Rager, Mims, Chanel, all those guys that are in that group, that whoever you want to put in that second tier,
right,
all great and similarly. Even if there is a slight run on them, you're going to get at least one of those guys that you like if you haven't graded similarly.
No, yeah, I think you're absolutely right there. And that is the philosophy of the teams that are always best player available. It's like a value proposition, too. It's like, you know, yes, if we strengthen a position of strength with the best player, is that better than addressing an area of need? And that's the answer is usually yes.
Well, see, and I look at it this way. There are certain guys that I see the Eagles would go after. Like, Justin Jefferson, I think they would go after him because I think they believe he could play outside and inside.
Mm-hmm.
I also believe Chanel is a guy that they would be appreciative of because he plays inside, outside. He can also play running back because they had him at running back at Colorado at times. He plays punt returner, and he can do a wildcat offense. So you got a whole bunch of stuff. Plus, you just got the guy, or I think some of their concepts, they're going to steal some stuff from the 49ers because I think that's how this league works, and he's a guy you can do that with. To me, the guys that you don't want to get stuck with in this draft at 21, if you're going to reach for a wide receiver, and I think at 21 you'd be reaching for a wide receiver because I think you'd be better players on the board, you want to get guys that have versatility, that can do a lot of things. I like Rager, but my problem with Rager is he's an outside wide receiver and he's an over-the-top guy.
Right.
And if he doesn't have this, he ran a 4.47, which that doesn't bother me because I think he's more close, his game tape is closer to like a 4.4 flat, 4.3. So, but the problem is you can't move him around, so he's stuck on the outside. I don't think you want to do that with the type of offense you're running. You want guys that can play multiple positions on the offense so you can do a whole bunch of different stuff. So to me, the problem with the Eagles is this is the biggest problem. At 21, they're too high to take a wide receiver because I don't think any of them are worthy of it. But at 53, you're too far back because the run's going to start right around 25, 26, all the way to like 40. So you would have to move up in the second round.
Well,
that's
sure.
the problem.
Yeah, and Lance, thanks for the phone call. You appreciate it. I could see Green Bay at the back of that of that first round being involved. I could see New England being involved. He's right about Cam Newton. I would say that I'm curious to see where Jameis Winston goes as well. Like, I don't know if he's a starting quarterback or not, but there are worse places that you could go than Los Angeles. Like, let me put it this way. If I were a quote-unquote failed first overall pick, which I don't know that Winston is, but he's not getting extended, I don't know that there are better places to go from a pressure perspective than the Los Angeles Chargers right now. Like, you're coming after Phillip Rivers. Yes, you never want to follow the legend. But it doesn't seem like the Chargers have an overwhelming amount of support in the Southern California area. It could be a relaxing situation for a guy like Cam or a guy like Jameis Winston. Or I'm just saying, I know that you got a new stadium, and there's nothing that invigorates a fan base like a first-round quarterback. There's nothing like it. I understand that. It's why you see him happening a lot beyond just thinking that a guy's worth a first-round pick for what he does on the field. What I'm saying is that there are other options besides Justin Herbert, who doesn't scream NFL ready to me to begin with this upcoming year.
Well, and I think the option, too, between whether it's Newton or Winston versus Tyrod Taylor is the excitement factor that you're just talking about. You could truly go into a season with Tyrod Taylor and know exactly what you're in for. Or, as yeah. a newer team with a newer stadium, a newer fan base, go into the season with a guy that could toss 30 touchdowns.
Yeah, right. It did just last year. 30 interceptions. But now with 2020 vision.
You know me, I'm proven over not, but this isn't proven over not. This is baseline versus, you know, ceiling.
Right.
Winston's ceiling is much higher
than Taylor's.
Than Taylor's.
No doubt.
Taylor's floor may be lower, or higher, I should say, than Winston's.
You know, I got to tell you the truth. I don't even know if that's true. I mean, people said that Jameis Winston was terrible last year. 30 interceptions is god-awful. It's really, really bad. 33 touchdowns, 5,100 yards. Now, Tampa was always behind. They're always chucking. Understand. But there are only so many 5,000-yard throwers. A lot of them have happened in recent history. True. Still completed 61% of his passes. He's not a world beater, but he is 26.
If you don't mind me asking.
Yeah.
Who's better?
Uh-huh.
Jameis Winston going into the 2020 NFL season.
Okay.
Or Matt Ryan 5 years into his NFL career?
Probably Matt Ryan 5 years in.
Is it a massive difference?
Probably not. I don't think so. I'd have to go back and look at what Matt Ryan did early on.
Okay. So if you could get a tick below Matt Ryan, or excuse me, Matt Stafford.
Oh.
Stafford. Did I say Matt Ryan?
You did.
I meant Matt Stafford.
Yeah, I was like, I think Matt Ryan was better.
No, sorry. Matt Stafford, 5 years into his NFL career.
Let's see. So 5 years into his NFL career, Stafford had... He started being healthy year three. So he was really unhealthy year one and
right.
year two. Year three, he had from 3 to 5, he had three straight 4,600-yard plus seasons.
Okay.
So probably similar. Let me see what Jameis did.
Because the point I'm trying to make in this whole thing is...
Nah, Stafford was better.
By a lot?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then the point I was trying to make was, if you were willing to have Stafford going into a sixth season, would you not be willing to have Jameis? But if they're discernibly different, then the question is not, I guess, valid.
So let's go 3 through 5. Stafford was 50, 38, 41 touchdowns, 16 picks, 49, 67, 17 touchdowns, 20 touchdowns, 17 picks. Not a great year. And then at his age 25 season, which was season number 5, 46, 50, 29 touchdowns and 19 picks. He's had a better career.
Yeah, the interceptions are significantly down.
Yeah.
The reason I asked was because it feels to me like Stafford's pick numbers are up at 24, 25.
Right. I got you.
That's why I asked. If it's 18, 19, then the question's it's not a valid question.
Yeah. But I'm sure there is a comp somewhere. I'm sure that we'll find one. 610-632-0975. Mike, we're going to get to you first, and then it can be you. It's the Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.